And would you make a confession of faith over what we're about to hear today? Amen. Say with me, thank you, Lord, for your word. I receive my Bible as God speaking to me. Therefore, I hear from God when I study my Bible. I understand his word by the Holy Spirit who lives inside me. Today, as I hear the word, my faith will be energized. I confess I'll not only hear it, I'll also do it. Because I hear it and I do it, my life won't stay the same. Thank you, Lord, for your life-changing, ever-living, miracle-working word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you would like to read with me in just a moment, you can go ahead and turn to Acts, the second chapter. Praise the Lord. Let me say one other quick thing here. Before I start my sharing with you today, after the service, there is a baptism, a time of baptism. And if you are here and you are being baptized, please remember, as soon as service is over, if you go, and I think Ms. Deb had told you, go and go to the dressing rooms over here and be, you know, and get yourself ready. Then meet us right over here by the baptistry, and then we'll talk to you a few minutes, and we'll go through that together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where did I tell you to turn? I was just checking, see if you did. Praise the Lord. You know, today, all over the church world, the followers of the Lord Jesus are celebrating Pentecost. Did y'all know that? Praise the Lord. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. And, you know, truthfully, we kind of tend to get a little more geared up in about a few or several other of the Christian days of remembrance. You know, we get a little more geared up about Christmas, right? A little more geared up about Easter or the Resurrection Sunday than we do Pentecost. And I'm sure there's a lot of reasons for it, but, you know, maybe... the Easter and Christmas, they're about Jesus, they're about the Lord. Most everybody has heard about Jesus and the Lord and so forth. Plus the fact, Pentecost has not quite been commercialized. Hello? Like Christmas and Easter. How many of you went into the stores this week? Did you go to Walmart and see a Pentecost suit or a Pentecost dress or a Pentecost costume or, you know, a Pentecost tree? You didn't see that, did you? You know, so it hasn't caught on by the secular world yet, you know, to have those kinds of things. But anyway, you know, the Christmas and Easter, they're about Jesus, the Son of God, etc. When you get to Pentecost, it's about the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is about the Holy Ghost, amen? And people generally have less problem grasping the concept of God the Father. I mean, think about it with me. God the Father, that creates a kind of a visual there. God the Father, God the Son, you know. Get to God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. Now, that just doesn't, you know, you can kind of get the picture of a Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just really doesn't have all those names. So he's a little more difficult for us, or particularly the, you know, secular world, to kind of grasp, to wrap their arms around, to understand. He's more illusory. He's more, he's a spirit. How do you grab hold of that? You know, we think about spirits, and most people think about Casper or something. You know, the spirits in that. But the Holy Spirit, you know, He's a little more controversial. How about that? He's a little more controversial than God the Father, God the Son. I know that they can produce some real controversy, but Christians, even Christians sometimes are not as comfortable in talking about the Holy Spirit as they are. And one of the reasons is so much misinformation has been shared over the, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of years, and particularly in the last two centuries, so much misinformation. And that will probably continue as long as we have, human beings, leaders, influencers over a lot of people who they criticize, or maybe, I don't want to be rude, I don't want to be mean this morning, but criticizing things that they just don't really know anything about. Amen. and criticizing, you know, people like us who believe that the Holy Spirit of the Scriptures still works through the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We still believe that He works. We still believe that He's alive. We still believe that He does signs and wonders and miracles, praise the Lord. We still believe that He empowers believers to witness and to share their faith throughout the whole world. We still believe that He's the God of the supernatural, praise the Lord, that He has supernatural gifts. 9 of them are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that He has supernatural fruit that He wants to produce in our life. And they're mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, and other things that the Holy Spirit wants to do. And then, you know, praise the Lord, we still believe those kinds of things. Can I have an amen? I'm talking to you about Pentecost this morning. You say, well, Pastor, what is Pentecost? What is it? Is it a religion? Is it a doctrine? Is it a denomination? What is Pentecost? Well, actually, it's not as mystical sometimes as people say, but it was really a feast day, a Jewish feast day. Still is a Jewish feast day, and it was a feast that concerned the harvest. It was called by several different names, or referred to over all of them, the years from the Jewish standpoint. It was called the Feast of Weeks. It's called Shavuot. It was called, you know, in coordination with the giving of the law at Sinai. So there's several things. It is it's a feast day that came at a specific time of the year. It came 7 weeks and one day after Passover. 7 weeks is 49. 7 times 7, 49, and then 50. Even the word means 50. Pentecost, 50. And so, you know, prior to the Christian church age, Pentecost was basically just one of the three major feast days of the Jews. And it was a celebration. It was a celebration of where they offered their praise unto the Lord because of the harvest. Amen. But, everybody say but, on one particular day of Pentecost. Ooh, something happened that had never happened before. And something that will never happen again just like that. Amen. And that's where we are when we get to the book of Acts in chapter 2. This is where we read what happened on this day that we're talking about of Pentecost. Amen. Now, it says here in chapter 2, verse 1, I'm just going to read 4 verses here. It says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, when the day of Pentecost, this feast day, that wasn't the day of that denomination, it's the day of the feast, had fully come, they were all with one accord. Now, wait a minute, who's the they? The they were the 120 followers of the Lord Jesus Christ who were just doing what He told them to do, and that was to go and to wait. And we'll get into that in a minute. But they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. There came a sound from heaven. There was something that touched their ears. Everybody say their ears? They heard something. They heard something. There came a sound from heaven. What did the sound sound like? It sounded like a rushing, mighty wind. I didn't say it was a wind, but it says it sounded like this rushing, mighty wind. Have you ever just been in a place where that the PA was going on, there was a band singing or something was going on, and it was so loud that it hurt your ears? How many of you ever been in a big storm? You ever lived through a hurricane? Any of you guys in Houston, yeah, it's not hard to find somebody that has. I mean, and the wind, the sound of the wind is just, it's frightening, isn't it? Well, here we got, suddenly, there's this sound that comes from where? From heaven. It comes from heaven, not from hell. It comes from heaven, and it sounded like this rushing, this mighty wind, and it says that it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then something else happened. There appeared, so first they heard something, now they're going to be seeing something. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat, and one sat upon each of them. Then there appeared, they saw something, divided tongues as of fire, divided tongues. He's trying to describe something that he sees here, or he explains something that he's, you know, that happened in the spirit. Didn't say it was fire. It just says it looked like, you know, it looked like fire. Fire, but it didn't burn anybody. Isn't that amazing? So it kind of like the fire in the burning bush. where Moses saw God, and he knew that was his presence right there, amen, because God spoke to him from the burning bush. But now we've got a fire, and it looks, you know, like tongues. You know how you draw a picture of tongues, and this fire seemed to set upon each one of them. Y'all excuse me, but I'm about to get excited about preaching about the Holy Spirit. I can't help it. Hallelujah. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, or he gave them language, or he gave them the words that begin to come up out of them. Now, we being part of a Spirit-filled church, we're generally pretty familiar with this verse of Scripture here, which tells us what happened on this particular, not any day of Pentecost, but on this particular day of Pentecost. Now, lest we get sloppy in our study of the Scriptures, let's just take this thing back. I think that my place this morning as your pastor is let's just establish ourselves in the Scriptures, okay? So, I'm not trying to make you laugh. I want to get you established in the Scriptures this morning, okay? So, lest we get sloppy here, let's just see what preceded the day of Pentecost so we can stay in the framework of the way God is moving here. This Pentecost is the one that happened after Jesus went to the cross. You remember Jesus was arrested. He went to the cross. He gave his life on the cross. He died. Then he was buried. 3 days later, he did what? He resurrected. Everybody say he resurrected. Then after his ascension, after his resurrection, after his resurrection, Jesus then spends, according to Scripture, 40 days in this earth. And during that 40 days, he's preparing his disciples for the mission for which he first called them to do, which was to take the good news of God's love and salvation to the whole world. That's why they were called to begin with, amen? So during this time, he tells them that, first of all, after he ascends back to heaven, that's A. B, before they go out and they start preaching this good news, there is something that is going to happen, something that they are going to experience, something that they need to receive, something that is so important to them that they are to put everything else on hold until this happens. So let's look at that in Scripture. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, this is during that 40 days when he's teaching them. And he says to them, he's got them all sitting down, and I'm just pulling one Scripture out of the whole conversation he had, but he said, behold, listen to me very closely, guys. He says, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The word is dunamai, which has to do with miraculous, supernatural power. Praise the Lord. So he says, now look, I'm going to send the promise of the Father to you. In a minute, we'll just see exactly what the promise of the Father is. But he says, you stay in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power on high. Now, before he went to the cross, in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, he had told them many times that he was going to send the Comforter. He was going to send the Spirit of Truth. He was going to send the Holy Spirit. Amen. In John 14 and 16, he says, I'm going to pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter. He'll abide with you forever. Now, let's go back into the book of Acts. In Acts, the first chapter, you were in a second while ago, but Acts, the first chapter, and verse 4 and 5, it gives an account of Jesus assembling all of his guys together and all the believers. And it says here, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. In other words, I've been telling you about this. I've told it to you again and again. I've told you about the promise of the Father. Then he tells us what it is. He says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then if you drop down to verse 8, just a few verses down, he goes on to say that you are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Praise the Lord. And then after all that is done, he says, you're going to get this power, which is the word dunamai, which means ability and might and strength and working and having to do with miracles. Wow. Miraculous power to become witnesses and to experience change. And then after he said all of that to them, immediately, if we keep reading, he ascends up into heaven. Boom, he's gone. Now, this is as far as we know about the last thing that he said to people. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and you're going to receive power after that he has come upon you. Amen. And then he's gone. He ascends up into the clouds. You remember when the angel then said, why are you standing here looking up at the same Jesus? He went away. He's now coming again. He said, you know, so after this is all gone, the angels have gone away, Jesus has gone away. Can you imagine this group? They're sitting there and probably, or standing there, and probably one says, wow, all right, well, what do we do now? Well, I don't know. What do you think we ought to do? So somebody probably spoke up and says, well, maybe we better do what he said. Oh, what did he say to do? He said, go to Jerusalem. He said, wait. He said, go up, you know, and tarry until something happens. What's going to happen? We don't know. But we're going to get some power when this happens. We know that. He says we're going to be endued when the Holy Spirit comes. So let's just go do what he did, what he said to do. And so what did they do? They did that. They went up into Jerusalem, and they came together. I don't know if they all just stayed there all the time, you know, never moved, you know, went out and got in. I don't know what they did, but I do know, according to Scripture, they waited in harmony, they waited in unity, they waited in prayer. And according to the timetable of the Scriptures, they waited for 10 days. Everybody say 10 days. I'm teaching you a good lesson this morning about the Holy Spirit, about Pentecost. And so they waited for 10 days, which brings us up to the day of Pentecost. Remember, Pentecost is 7 weeks and one day after Passover. He was here after resurrection 40 days. Now 10 days brings us to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 that we just read. And on that day, all glory to God, on that day, some 2,000 years ago, give or take, God the Holy Spirit, he came into this world in a way that he had never come before. He came into this world in a dimension of power that he'd never displayed before. He came into this world to fulfill a mission and to operate through a purpose in which he had never functioned before. And there was 120, according to Scripture, 120 believers that experienced an infilling of the Holy Spirit that no one except perhaps Jesus had ever experienced before. And it was the beginning of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It was the beginning of the New Testament church and the beginning of the Holy Spirit working through men as he had never worked before, teaching men, helping men, empowering men, enabling men to be able to take the gospel to the ends of the earth and even to give their lives, praise the Lord, in order to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm talking to you about Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Hallelujah. Now, where does that take us in the story? Oh, we read verse 4, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, you could go from right there, there's 100 different ways you could go when you and begin to look at the story. But as I was just meditating on this, what I feel like the Lord spoke to me to share with you this morning. Here's where we want to go together. Is let's think about what being filled with the Holy Spirit can do for a person. What about this being filled with the Holy Spirit? What can it do for a man? How the Holy Spirit can change a person into the person that God wants them to be. I'm going to talk to you about the power to be changed by the Holy Spirit. Say that with me, the power to be changed by the Holy Spirit. Now, whether or not you've ever thought about it, or, you know, lately, you've thought about it very much or not, but you and I, we need some changing. Can I have a better amen than that? We need some changing. There's some changing that needs to happen in our lives. And even though you may have changed a whole lot, but there's always, you know, those things. Because we're supposed to be being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son. We need some changing. How many of you can remember life before you gave your heart to Jesus? Anybody in here remember that? Can you? Was there any changing since? Has there been any change since then? How many of you who've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, can you remember life before you were baptized with the Holy Spirit? Maybe even after you were saved, but before you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Anybody in here besides me? Man, I'm telling you, there was some change. Amen, some change. Is there anybody in here who you can sincerely say that there has been a supernatural change in your life that the Holy Spirit has brought to bear? Anybody in here besides me? Holy Spirit has brought to bear. I'm talking to you about the power to change a person. The power to change a person. I know when I look back on my own life, my goodness, you may get tired of hearing my testimony, but it's all I have. It's my testimony. I can't tell you about your testimony. But I begin to recall the unusual changes that have taken place in my life, in my nature, and in my character, in my focus, in my purpose, in my beliefs, in my courage. But when I think about the unusual changes, the healing of my soul, you know, and my emotions that I've gone through, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I'm 65 years old, and I'm amazed what the Lord has done. And I'm still, thank God, being changed, because He's got a work to go. You know, if I'm here till I'm 85, I'm sure He will still have a work to go. But I have personally experienced the change of the Holy Spirit. I'm a personal example. To fix your nature, to help come in, to fix a personality. You know, when you get saved, your spirit man comes alive. Praise God. Whoo! But how do you know that your soul is not what gets born again? How do you know that you can get saved and your soul still is broken? In other words, your mind, your will, and your emotions, there's still some fixing that needs to happen. There's still some old character. There's still some old habits, some old things that needs to go on in your life. And I look back in my life, and I'm not one, I don't digress, you know, that much, but I can remember even as a child, I can remember some things that I know now helped shape the way that I was. I remember as a little boy, I was tall, but I was real skinny, you know, and lightweight kind of, you know. And so that in itself wasn't any big problem, but it did pose one problem, and there was a bunch of bullies in my school. There were some bullies in my school, and the bullies just took pleasure in pushing us around, shoving us around, taking things from us, you know. And they knew that we couldn't do anything about it at the time, except slip up behind them and hit them in the head with a board. I mean, and so they kept close watch. But you understand what I'm saying. But I understand, you know, today there's a lot of talk about bullies in school, but I understand what it does to a child to be bullied all the time. And you don't want to tell anybody, you don't want to complain, you don't want to tell your parents, you don't want to tell the teachers, because that'll make you look even worse, you know what I'm saying? But I can remember that, and because of that, I say because of that, it may have been a lot of different things, but I believe that it affected even my personality. There was a timidity, I had even a shame. There was a shame that was unspoken. Ashamed because I didn't do something or couldn't do something about them bullying me. And it began to shape some things in me that came out a lot later in life, a timidity, you know, I was more happy to be a loner rather than I would be around. I was fine to be around people that I trusted. But if I didn't trust you, I mean, I was afraid you might bully me, and I didn't want anything to do with that, you know. So I had, do you anybody... I'm not just trying to tell you my story. I'm trying to tell you, listen, there is a healing even in the soul and in the emotion of man that the Holy Spirit wants to do for us today. He has the power to effect change in us in ways that nobody else can change. He can change you. He can heal you. He can heal your emotions. He can heal habits. He can heal the character that's been developed. He can heal those little twisted things about us. I'm not going to say you, I say us, okay. I'm in this thing too. But about us that need to be healed and need to be changed, need to be fixed. I read the book of Acts in chapter 2 in particular, this verse that we were looking at, and man, I tell you, it's all supernatural. The whole thing is supernatural. It starts off with a supernatural sound. We read about it. A supernatural sound from heaven. It's like a hurricane, except nobody got blown away. And the house didn't get destroyed. And this sound, why did he come as a sound? I'll tell you why he did, because this wind, that like a wind, is representative through Scripture of the power of God as God moves. So the Holy Spirit came with this sound representing the power of God that was going to come inside people whenever the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then where did it go? It moved from a sound to what? It moved from sound to what? To fire. Now they had this fire. And I think sometimes we get confused with it says it was likened to cloven tongues of fire, and then they spoke with unknown tongues. Don't tie those two together. He's describing something over here and describing something over here. The cloven tongues are divided tongues of fire. He was trying to describe what he saw about the Holy Spirit coming upon them. It was coming upon them as it was fire. And fire set upon them. And what does fire typify throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament? Fire typifies the presence of the Lord. So now we've got here Holy Spirit coming, and he comes demonstrating in power, and he comes demonstrating in presence. And then what does he do? He comes in language, communicating and speaking. And he speaks to them through unknown tongues. What does he say, and who is he talking to? What he's saying, according to the Scripture in Acts chapter 2, is he's saying that they're giving praises unto God. They're talking about God, and they're giving praises unto God. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to different people in the city of Jerusalem that had different languages. There are 15 of them that are mentioned in that chapter. Different people. What is he doing? He's showing us that, listen, when the Holy Spirit comes and the message of salvation and the infilling of the Spirit comes, it's not just to one person. It's not just to the Jew, but it's to all people of all tongues and all kindreds and all languages. It's for the whole wide world. He says that this experience is for you and your children and to as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Hallelujah. So here he's come in power. He's come in the presence. He's come in language. Language that they didn't understand, but they're communicating to them, to God and to them. And then I don't believe there's any coincidence that God chose the day of Pentecost as the day to send the Holy Spirit. Because the day of Pentecost to the Jew coincided with the day that God gave the law to Moses in the Sinai after they came out, out of Egypt. And so 50 days after Passover, Egypt, 50 days out in Sinai, on the Mount of Sinai, God descends. And he shows up with wind and lightning and sound and fire. And what does he give? He gives the law. He gives the law. Amen. And that's all they had. All they had was the law. Try to live by the law. And they all found out, because God was just trying to show them, that you can't just live by the letter of the law and please God. Amen. So what does he do now? New covenant comes around. And on the day of Pentecost, which coincided with the day of the giving of the law, he sends the Holy Spirit. Now we've got the law, but we got the Spirit. Praise the Lord. We've got the Word, Jesus came, and we have the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Are you getting this or not? This is beautiful to me. God is, he's just lining everything up so we can see exactly what he's doing. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 6, the Bible says, God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Jesus, or God, was just trying to help us to see, listen, this is a covenant of life. This is a covenant of joy. It's a covenant of wellness. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Praise the Lord. Then, if you go on through it, I'm talking about everything was supernatural. You read through this book, and now there's supernatural preaching. We got supernatural prophecy. We got supernatural conviction. We got supernatural salvation. There's 3,000 people that got saved on that one day. Here we are. we got all of this that is happening. But as I read that story, still the thing that stands out to me this morning as much as anything else is the supernatural change that happened to this man, Peter, and his fellows. Peter was changed. The supernatural change by the Holy Spirit and how it can change a person, heal his wounds, fix his twisted parts of his nature. Now let's think about Peter for a minute. Let's think about him in relation to this verse. For the past 50 days prior to Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter has demonstrated to us he has an inclination to be brash. He's got an inclination to be kind of sassy, to be moved by anger. You remember when they arrested Jesus? What did he do? He whipped that sword out, man. I mean, they had a whole group of soldiers here. He whips out his sword. He's going to fight, you know. And he takes a swing at the head of one of them and cuts the ear off. You guys know the story. So here we see him now. This is his inclination. We see his inclination to have this weakness of fear. Fear controls his life as he and his friends, they run and they hide when Jesus is arrested because they don't want anybody to know that they were connected to him. So they're motivated by fear. We see his inclination for compromise. You know, he compromised. He even went so far as when they said, you know, you look like one of those guys that was with Jesus. He cursed them. He cursed them. He blasphemed them. He told them, no, you are wrong. It's not me. I don't even know the guy. He had this inclination and weakness to compromise, even his faith in God. We see his weakness to drop into despair, to drop into hopelessness and a loss of purpose. His little faith and his lack of commitment. In short, now watch this. In short, he acts just like an everyday, ordinary, good guy, normal, according to the natural world. In every way, he's just as normal as anybody. And when it came to the things of the supernatural, he's unequipped. He's uninspired. He lacks the power in order to live a supernatural life. He lacks the power to do supernatural things. And it wasn't because he hadn't been around Jesus, because he had been around Jesus for 3.5 years. He walked with Jesus, lived with Jesus, ate with Jesus. He heard, I don't know how many sermons. How many sermons you think he'd heard in 3.5 years? I mean, and sermons, because Jesus would preach to them after he preached to the crowd. He's seen Jesus do all these miracles. My Lord, he'd been around the supernatural. He'd seen all this stuff happen, you know. He had been with the Master. And now where's his courage? How about the power to change? Where's his courage? Where's his faith? Where's his zeal? Where's the wisdom? Where's the love that it's going to take to touch the world? In a lot of ways, Peter, up until the day of Pentecost, was just like you and I have been. He was just like a normal guy. But then something happened. Then something happened. While he and all these other guys were just doing what the Lord told them to do. They were just meeting, you know, praying, waiting in this room. Something happened. The perfected time of the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And the Holy Spirit comes with, remember how he demonstrated himself, he comes with power. Through the rushing mighty wind. He comes with presence, demonstrated by the fire. He comes with the languages of God to speak through them, to speak to men, even in languages that they didn't know, and to speak to God and to touch the world. And they are no longer the same. They are no longer the same. Peter, before that day, had walked with Jesus, but he was just a Galilean fisherman. Before that day, he had no pedigree of influence. He had no culture of royalty. He had no seminary training by the prophets of that day. He's there, and on the day of Pentecost, something happens to him, and he stands up and he begins to give his first message This is like his first message, you know, his first sermon to thousands of people. They were probably on the steps, they probably spilled out on the steps of the temple, because that's really, if you understand Jerusalem, that's probably the only place that could have held a group of thousands of people at one time. And so there he is on the steps of the temple. He's preaching, and Jesus is not there to help him. Jesus is not there to amen him. Jesus didn't give him his notes or give him advice. Now, this is what you should say, and this is the way you should act. So he stands up. He doesn't have any notes. You know, he doesn't have any plans. He doesn't have a PA system. He doesn't have the hottest new band in order to warm the crowd up. And he begins to preach under the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you ought to read the whole book. Go read that whole chapter. It's powerful. The whole chapter, chapter 2. Let me just read a little bit of it. Go down to verse 37. It says, and when they heard this, when they heard his preaching, they heard all the things that he said, they were pricked in their hearts. I always thought this is so amazing that they didn't get mad, because he's really come at them. He told them, you killed the Son of God. And instead of getting mad and angry and wanting to kill him, the Bible says they were cut in their hearts. They were cut in their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? Peter said, here's what you do. You need to repent. You need to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many students of the word, catch this, with many other words did he testify. With many, he wasn't through with his message. He preached and preached and preached some more. He testified about all the things that they had seen and they had done. And he testified about his life with Jesus, and he exhorted to them. He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And that's the same message Jesus says to us today. Save yourself. Untoward generation. What is that? An untoward generation is a generation that is going toward nothing. They're going toward nothingness. Nothing of any value. Nothing of any eternal worth. They're headed there. And he says, save yourselves. By what? Repenting. Oh, I'm telling you, man, the Holy Spirit changes a man. Look how it changes this man and empowers him. The message that he preached was not of his own wisdom. It was not out of his own power. It was not out of his own nature. It was as he gave himself to the Holy Spirit, and as he let the Holy Spirit begin to work through him and preach through him, the Holy Spirit, watch this, the Holy Spirit pricked their hearts. We're always trying sometimes, you know, to win somebody to Jesus and convict them of their sin and get them to see. It wasn't Peter that did that. The Holy Spirit pricked them. He pricked them. He convicted them in their hearts, and he brought them to repentance. And then the Holy Spirit applied the new birth to their life, and there was 3,000 of them that was baptized, saved and baptized that day. And he works through this man, Peter, who had just been filled with the Holy Spirit himself. Now listen to me. I'm almost through. So give me your ear, please. It's not that a person comes and receives the Lord or is baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden they become perfect and they become fully mature. That is not what we're saying. That is not what happened to Peter. He didn't become perfectly mature. It's a process that you go through. But here's what I am saying. Here's what I am saying. Catch this. That it is just that we have to realize we are powerless to change ourselves alone. Peter could not change himself from one who was a coward, who was faithless, who was afraid. He couldn't change himself. He walked with Jesus another 40 days. He wasn't changed yet. He stayed in the upper room praying for another 10 days. He wasn't changed yet. But when he allowed the Holy Spirit to come inside him and fill him, he began to change. We have to realize that we cannot change ourselves alone. You cannot heal your soul alone. I'm not talking about salvation now. I'm talking about a hurt soul, a wounded heart. I'm talking about the scars that have been left from the life that you've lived up until this day. You can't heal your emotions alone. There's not enough pills that can be produced by the pharmacy to heal all those things. But there is a way to get healed. And there is a way for your soul to be fixed and mended. There is a way for your character to be changed. There is a way for God to bring you to a place to where that you're a person of integrity. You're a person of truth. You're a person of boldness. And not ashamed of who you are because you know that you're a child of Almighty God. There is a way. It's when we receive this precious Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost and we let him come into our life. I'm talking to you about the power to change you. All of us, every one of us in here have been broken, or we are broken, and we need healing. Things that rob us of so many things. Timidity, cowardice, fear, loneliness, emotional disturbance. There's all kinds of things. Praise the Lord. They rob us of our witness. They rob us of our courage. They rob us of our strong character. But if we want change, we need to do just like these did. They saw it for 10 days. Well, they tarried, not because, you know, that's the pattern that we have to do today, because if you ask for the Holy Spirit, Jesus said it, he would give him to you. They did it because they tarried 10 days because the Holy Spirit hadn't come. And they had to wait until he came. Aren't you glad that he's already came? He's already come. Aren't you glad that he's here? Aren't you glad that he wants to come into your life today? Amen. Now here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do before I close today. Now just you and the Lord. Just you. Close your eyes for just a minute. Just you and the Lord. Just you and yourself and the Lord. As you just think, Lord, what are the areas that need healing in my nature, in my personality? That's a good way to put it. In my personality. What are the things? The things that I battle. The things that I'd like to see changed. Those are the things that the Lord wants to begin to work a process of healing in you today. Those are the things. And so as you think about them, I want you to just listen to this prayer. And when I get to a part of leading you to repeat it, then say it with me. Now, Heavenly Father, we're just in your presence by the name of Jesus on this Pentecost Sunday. We've taken, oh God, as our point of focus and faith today, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And when he came, oh God, there were so many things that changed in this earth. The whole new covenant began. The church age began. But Lord, today, we're just looking at that singular part, that one aspect of his coming, the power for him to change our lives. To change our nature. Jesus, we all need healing. We need healing in the soul. We need healing in our personalities. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit is here to do that today. Now, if you want God to touch you, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, fill me today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Endue me with the power. Fill me, oh God, with all that God that you have for me. Heal me today, oh Lord. Be filling me. Fill me every day with the precious Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, do your work inside me. Heal me. Fix me. Heal my personality. Heal the scars of the past. Heal things, oh God, that have made me be who I am today. But there are things that I want to change. Holy Spirit, fill me today and work inside me. I surrender and I let you live through me. In fact, I long for you to live through me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that as We invite you into our lives to baptize us, Jesus, as you would baptize us into the Holy Spirit. I thank you also for the work that you're doing of healing inside us. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, some have prayed, and they've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. They may not even understand what that means, oh Lord. But as they prayed, the Holy Spirit came into their lives in a new dimension of power. I praise you, Lord, that you will grow them. I praise you, O Lord, that because you have come in, Holy Spirit, because you have come in and you have immersed them, baptized them with yourself, I pray, O Lord Jesus, that we will come, they will all come to realize that because Holy Spirit has baptized them, they have within them the languages. They not only receive the power, not only receive the presence, but they receive the languages of God, and that they're now able to pray just as they did in the book of Acts. On many occasions, they're able to pray in an unknown tongue, and they're able to worship you, and they're able to intercede. And if God so chooses and wants to give message that can be interpreted, they're able to do that also. And I give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, suddenly, hallelujah, suddenly he came about with power in their lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come, and they're here to minister to you. You know, maybe you're here and you say, well, you know, that just stirred my interest. I don't know about the Holy Spirit. I don't understand that. And what was this thing that they were all speaking in tongues? What was that thing about? Maybe that's something that you have a question about today. Then listen, we have prayer partners here. They'll pray with you. They'll pray with you about anything, you know, that's scriptural. You know, I don't agree with, anyway, I won't go there. But they'll pray with you because they want to see God move in your life. But you just have to take advantage of it. Amen. Remember, these guys, this 120, they received what God had for them because they obeyed the words of Jesus, and they went and they searched, they looked, they came to. They spent 10 days up there waiting for God to do what he said he'd do. Now, I'm not telling you to come and spend 10 days, but God, he has come and he will minister you today, okay? So don't miss out on your opportunity. Hallelujah. There's at least three people here today, and you want, there's a burning inside you. I know this of the Holy Spirit. There's a burning inside you to receive the fullness of what God has for you. You want that full manifestation of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll come and let the prayer partners or prayer leaders pray with you, God will meet you. He will touch you today. Amen. Stand to your feet, Ken, would you? Let me speak a blessing over you, and then we'll turn you loose. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I pray that this is going to be one fantastic, awesome week. I pray that the Lord's going to be with you and keep you. You're going to be safe. He's going to keep looking at you. He's going to be blessing you. You're going to prosper. I just speak over those of you who have businesses or you're in business. I pray that you'll have more business than you've ever had before. Praise the Lord. And that you will prosper in the things of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're just